The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Portions of the following program may contain pre-recorded material.
This is your source for breaking news
and what to make of it all.
This is the Mike Gallagher Show.
It's a declaration of war against nearly 80 million Americans.
The Department of Labor is developing an emergency rule to require all employers with 100 or more employees to ensure their workforces are fully vaccinated.
It's a promise from Joe Biden that he'll ignore the Constitution just to get what he wants.
These governors won't help us beat the pandemic. I'll use my power as president to get them out of the way.
Now, from the ReliefFactor.com studios, here's Mike Gallagher.
As John Podoritz from the New York Post put it, President Biden's speech yesterday was bizarrely incoherent. He told the American people without any qualification that fully vaccinated people are at an incredibly low risk. Then he promised to protect the vaccinated from the evil unvaccinated. It made no sense. And yesterday, the overreach, the unconstitutional power grab, is the line in the sand that a lot of Americans needed to have. This will be the wake-up call of all wake-up calls. This is going to be the crushing blow to progressivism, to the Democrat machine, to the beast. They're all cowering. They're all recognizing this guy's gone too far in forcing small business owners to punish, fire, or be fined, to threaten American governors with getting out of the way. He's going to get them out of the way. Oh, really? You're going to get them out of the way? Because that's what the left wants to do. They want to get us all out. They want to get all of us out of the way. You know, all through the Trump era, we kept saying that the beast, the media machine, the Trump haters, they didn't hate Trump as much as they hated you and me. Got to remember that. It's the same with Biden's speech yesterday. When he hates on Ron DeSantis, when he hates on Greg Abbott, when he hates on Kristi Noem, when he hates on Republican governors who are trying to maintain a semblance of sanity, he's hating on you and me. He's hating on more than half the country that disrespects him, that doesn't agree with him, that finds fault with his disastrous presidency. Here he was with this fateful announcement yesterday, talking about his level of frustration. This is rich. He has the audacity to stand there and tell us that he's frustrated with Americans?
If we raise our vaccination rate, protect ourselves and others with masking, expanded testing, and identify people who are infected, we can and we will turn the tide on COVID-19. It'll take a lot of hard work. It's going to take some time. Many of us are frustrated with the nearly 80 million Americans who are still not vaccinated, even though the vaccine is safe, effective, and free.
Now, remember, he's on record as saying the government can't do this. The federal government can't mandate advance. We can't tell private businesses how they can run their business. We can't order private businesses to fire people. But he's bringing in OSHA. He is shrewdly trying to give himself an end around. And he is absolutely 100% doing what he has already said he couldn't do. He has said it. circle back. Jen Psaki has said it. Even Pelosi has said it. There's tape. There are receipts of Pelosi saying this is not something the federal government can do. But he did it anyway. You know why? Because his patience is wearing thin.
My message to unvaccinated Americans is this. What more is there to wait for? What more do you need to see? We've made vaccinations free, safe, and convenient. The vaccine has FDA approval. Over 200 million Americans have gotten at least one shot. We've been patient, but our patience is wearing thin, and your refusal has cost all of us. So please, do the right thing.
Now, here's probably the cruelest clip of all. Of all of the bizarre, unconstitutional, draconian nonsense that this poor, addled old man delivered yesterday was the bit about freedom. Because all of this is about freedom. All of this is about freedom. All of this is about a lack of freedom. You know it. I know it. And most importantly, he knows it. He knows how this is stripping away Americans' constitutional freedoms. He knows it. But the greatest trick of a liar, it's a lot of people on the internet use the term gaslighting. You try to make everybody else feel like they're crazy. You know, you say crazy things and you imply that everybody else around you is crazy. Here was the trick he used yesterday. As we know darn well that freedoms are being stripped away from Americans, he has the audacity, he has the gall to look into the camera and say this doesn't have anything to do with freedom, when we all know this has everything to do with freedom.
This is not about freedom or personal choice. It's about protecting yourself and those around you, the people you work with, the people you care about, the people you love. My job as president is to protect all Americans. So tonight, I'm announcing that the Department of Labor is developing an emergency rule to require all employers with 100 or more employees that together employ over 80 million workers to ensure their workforces are fully vaccinated or show a negative test at least once a week. Some of the biggest companies are already requiring this. United Airlines, Disney, Tyson's Food, and even Fox News. The bottom line, we're going to protect vaccinated workers from unvaccinated coworkers.
This is a calculation. Here's all he's doing. He knows it will not survive in the courts. He knows full well this is unconstitutional. He's trying to buy time. He's trying to just drag this thing along long enough to try to shame enough Americans and enough businesses into trying to get vaccinated. And at the end of the day, he knows he'll lose, but he figures he'll buy enough time. We must not let him. We must not let him. Companies should, I've never said this before on the air, but companies should refuse to comply. I'm a law and order guy, but not for this nonsense. Not for this nonsense. Welcome in to a Friday, September 10th episode of the Mike Gallagher Show in the ReliefFactor.com studios. We have a lot to do this hour. This, of course, is the 20th anniversary of 9/11 tomorrow. I'll be in New York City. It was important for me to be in Manhattan to see that tribute of light beaming over the site where so many perished. Coming up, the great Tom Von Essen, the former fire commissioner of the New York City Fire Department, and a whole lot more. Stick around. We're just getting started. I'll bet you've seen Pete and Seth Talbot on the TV, the father and son owners of Relief Factor. Boy, are they great guys. They have a heart for the hurting. They just want to get you out of pain. They also do a whole lot of things behind the scenes that you'll never hear of. In fact, let me share with you a little secret.
The 1995 quick start that I always tell you about, where you could try the product, the 100% drug-free relief factor for 3 weeks for $19.95, they lose money on that deal. But they know you're probably going to keep ordering because it does work, and they want to prove it to you. Relief Factor is made from wild-caught fish oils and botanicals. It goes to work on the inflammation that causes back pain or neck pain or hip pain, pain from a workout at the gym. I want you to try. Go to ReliefFactor.com. If it doesn't work, you notify them after 3 weeks, and you're out $20. But if it does, consider what life could be like. Could be like pain-free. ReliefFactor.com, ReliefFactor.com, or call 800-500-8384, 800-500-8384 for Relief Factor.
Mike Gallagher.
Continuing here on this Friday, September 10th episode of the Mike Gallagher Show, and so much breaking news. Americans remembering 9/11. Americans reacting, I think, in fury over the constitutional overreach of this president, who is trying to mandate vaccines in private businesses, companies with 100 or more people. It is pretty disastrous where we are. Everything we were afraid of is coming to fruition with the Biden administration. This is the line in the sand that finally conservatives have been looking for. This perhaps is the moment when we see a president try to pit Americans against Americans, try to pit the vaccinated against the vaccinated, or on the unvaccinated, threaten governors. One of the most remarkable things of yesterday's speech was hearing the pretty blatant, open, threatening rhetoric used against governors like South Carolina's Henry McMaster, or South Dakota's Kristi Noem, or Texas's Greg Abbott, or Florida's Ron DeSantis, threatening to get state governors who have been elected by the people in the United States of America literally out of the way.
My plan also takes on elected officials in states that are undermining you and these life-saving actions. Right now, local school officials are trying to keep children safe in a pandemic while their governor picks a fight with them and even threatens their salaries or their jobs. Talk about bullying in schools. If they'll not help, if these governors won't help us beat the pandemic, I'll use my power as president to get them out of the way.
Oh, you're going to use your power as president and get them out of the way? You're going to put them in a gulag? What are you going to do? You're going to carry them out in handcuffs? How's that going to work, King George? Every American, Republican, Democrat alike, should denounce Biden's attempt at an unconstitutional vaccine mandate. It's disgusting. Lots of great commentary yesterday on Fox News. For example, Jesse Waters, who pointed out what I've been saying all day today. Just like it was the 4 years of Trump hatred and my reminder, my daily reminder, they don't hate Trump, they hate you and me. They hate us. Well, it's the same thing. Biden is targeting 80 million plus Americans who do not believe or trust him.
He's an angry man. He's a bitter man. He's humiliated by the Afghanistan situation. He's upset with the economic recovery where it should be, but it's not. So he's taking that anger out on the unvaxxed. He's targeting 80 million Americans who don't trust him, don't trust the media, for good reason. Country's been lied to for three decades. Why would you trust a politician or the media telling you anything? And instead of uniting the country against this pandemic and against China, because that's where it came from, he's trying to divide the country against itself for political exploitation. You know who people trust? They trust their doctor. So instead of doing all this crap that means nothing, give the doctors the shots. Have the doctors in private practice shelve the shots. They can stick these things in people's arms. You can get rid of all that other mistrust when you do that one thing.
I interviewed Lee Habib, who is the VP of content here at Salem Radio Network. He's also a writer, a storyteller, and he shared the story of how He had had a heart procedure years ago, received the first dose of the vaccine, and began having heart problems. His cardiologist, who was unaware that he had gotten the vaccine, said, whatever you do, do not get the second dose. This could cause serious, fatal complications for you, this vaccine. Now, that's Lee Habib's own doctor. Are you telling me that Lee Habib, or Americans like Lee, are supposed to trust Joe Biden over his own personal physician, or his cardiologist, or his heart surgeon who helped save his life? I don't think so. Greg Gutfeld, also on The Five yesterday on Fox News, pointed out that this is a really kind of the new breed of terrorists, you evil 80-plus million unvaccinated Americans.
Basically, he said the unvaxxed are the new terrorists. That's what he did. Like, he showed more anger towards that 80 million, this amorphous 80 million that he actually won't specify what constitutes the 80 million, which is kind of interesting. But he showed more anger towards them than the orderly and kind Taliban, right? The very business, like, he also lied. He lied so much. And he was, basically this whole thing was he was blowing his own horn because he blew it in Afghanistan.
Big distraction. It's not going to stand, and everybody knows it. And all of us should be unified in opposition to this unconstitutional overreach. I remember the unified feeling we had after 9/11. And I remember the leadership of people like Rudy Giuliani and President Bush and Tom Von Essen, the fire commissioner at the time of the New York Fire Department. Every year, I talk to Tom Von Essen about 9/11. My conversation with Tom, coming up. In a great big boat, roomy house, and I know you're gonna prove it, baby. Oh, yeah, make me feel good inside. Come on. You see it at the pump, the grocery store, and construction costs. Another month of the highest inflation since 2008. Another month where that paper money you're carrying around is worthless. What's your plan to protect your savings? You have homeowners insurance in case of a fire. What insurance do you have in place if inflation sets in further and pushes prices even higher? Well, my insurance plan is gold and silver from the Birch Gold Group. If you haven't reached out to Birch Gold to diversify your IRA or 401k into a precious metals IRA, you need to do it today. Text Mike to 474747. We'll send you a free info kit on protecting your savings with gold. They've got an A-plus rating with the Better Business Bureau, tons of five-star reviews, thousands of happy customers. I'm one of them. Talk to them. Have them help you safeguard your retirement savings. Text Mike to 474747 to claim your free no-obligation info kit on holding gold and silver in a tax-sheltered account. Text Mike to 474747. Take the first step in protecting your savings today.
The Mike Gallagher Show.
Tragedy that we're all undergoing right now is something that we've had nightmares about, probably thought wouldn't happen. My heart goes out to all of the innocent victims of this horrible and vicious act of terrorism, acts of terrorism. And our focus now has to be on saving as many lives as possible.
In the ReliefFactor.com studios, here's Mike.
Back at 9/11, everybody has a different process, and for some, I'm sure it's more personal than others. For those of us living and working in New York on September 11, 2001, these memories come flooding back, and I'm sure that is very much the case for the man who was the fire commissioner of the New York City Fire Department on September 11th. That's Tom Von Essen. He was appointed the 29th FDNY commissioner of the city of New York by Mayor Giuliani on April 15th, 1996. This has become a bit of an annual tradition because I take a lot of comfort and solace in hearing the perspective of a man who helped lead not only the city, but in a sense the nation after the awful events of 9/11. So once again, as we approach this 20-year anniversary of 9/11, Tom Von Essen joins us once again. Tom, it's great having you back on the program. And if you don't mind, I want to be I want to talk about some of the positive, some of the optimistic things that are happening 20 years after that awful, awful day where you lost 343 men, including trusted, loyal members of the FDNY, people you knew well. But two decades later, I was reading an article, I think it was in the New York Daily News the other day, that the children, more and more children of 9/11 victims are joining the FDNY than ever before. Is that true, Tom?
You know, I don't know if it's anecdotal. I know of many cases where it's absolutely true, and I think it's a great thing.
Well, it must be inspiring to you because of the anguish and pain of losing men who served under you, to know that their kids are now, you know, following in their father's footsteps. That's in a way, I mean, that's their parents' legacy. And it must bring you some comfort and you some appreciation because you know how proud those fallen firefighters would be of their kids.
Oh, absolutely, Mike. You know, and the hardest part of it for me, people say, you know, the day, how terrible it was, and it was certainly a horrible day. But for me, the days got worse because then I really had to deal with the reality of a widow or a parent had lost their child or their husband, their father. And I did so many eulogies and just stood up on those pulpits and was always look at the first row, and it was always a young woman with three or four little kids. Not always, but, you know, very, very often. And I'm sure a lot of those kids that I looked at and made me cry those days during the eulogies are probably the ones you're talking about today that have become firefighters and gone into other areas of public service. So, yeah, that was the worst part, the grief. But to know that some of those folks have moved on. I mean, we never use the word closure. There is no such thing. But some did do a better job of getting their lives back together. I think the ladies that had children had to do that. They had to worry about their children more than just their own pain and suffering. They had to go on for them. So I salute them. They were a tremendous group of young women.
I always think it's amazing to consider what a first responder has, the medal of a person who wants to be a first responder, a firefighter. You are the people that run into the burning building. You're the people that run to the problem, not away from it like all of the rest of us do. Can you talk a little bit about what kind of personality you have to have, or what kind of a person you have to be to choose that occupation, to want to make, because the people that I know, like you and like countless other first responders that I've befriended over the years, including police officers, law enforcement, it's a different kind of person, isn't it, Tom, who chooses this way to make a living?
It is. Generally, I mean, of course, the stereotype, and there's exceptions to it, but generally it's that person, a man or woman that was on a team in high school that maybe was not the top 10 student, but was interested in getting an education, but also doing physical things. Someone who maybe got involved and tried to help others even in high school, and then maybe went to college, maybe didn't, went into the military, tried to help make a difference, come out. And you like continuing that, but you also like the excitement of not being behind a desk, of having something very different every day, something that's also a secure job, as secure as it can be, at least financially, maybe not too secure, you know, because it is dangerous. And there's an awful lot of jobs that aren't as dangerous as others. I mean, when I came on in 1972, it's a lifetime ago, there were a tremendous amount of fires. We don't see that anymore. For lots of good reasons, education, training, insurance, cities have come back. So there's other things now that you have to, I think, even want to care more about people, because fire departments throughout the country have gotten involved with medical work. And medical work is very draining and takes a lot. It takes a lot out of the individual, and it's not as exciting or rewarding in some ways physically, but it's rewarding in helping people maybe when they need it the most, and not in a fire, but when they need real medical attention. So the job has changed a lot, but I think the nation has done a good job of preparing the men and women for it.
Every year on the 9/11 anniversary, we try to talk to my friend Tom Von Essen, who is the New York City Fire Commissioner on September 11th. I was again reading some articles about that fateful day, and I didn't realize that you were literally having to sort of appoint an acting chief during the day. Is that correct? Is that version true, that you had to say to one of your chiefs, you're now the chief and you have to carry on, when you heard the fateful news that your chief had been killed?
Well, we learned later in the afternoon that Chief Gantz, who was our chief of department, was lost. And it just put it like a knife through all of our hearts that day, and Bill Feehan along with him. And you do need leadership, but there is a natural progression. We had a chief of operations. We had who was also a terrific friend of Pete's, which made it even harder for him. So we did have Dan Nigro took over, and we had a great group of senior chiefs. We lost many of our senior chiefs. That experience will never be replaced, because those guys grew up at a time when there was an awful lot of fire duty. But since then, they've figured out other ways to give people training and try to give them as much experience as you can without having the real incidents. And I think around the country, they've done a better job than we did historically, preparing men and women as leaders without the fire duty that we had when I was on, because we used to totally rely on that. The only real good officers at the time were people who had gone through those years that were, certainly not good for the city. But it wasn't. We were just there to do a job. We didn't have much to say about keeping the city from burning down.
Exactly. Coming up, if you don't mind, I want to talk to you about another beloved figure, the man who was the chaplain of the FDNY, who to this day people honor and people remember. And I know that's important to you, as we continue our annual conversation with the great Tom Von Essen, who is the FDNY commissioner on September 11th, here in the ReliefFactor.com studios this Friday, September the 10th episode of the Mike Gallagher Show. Stick around. There's more coming up.
Control to Major Tom.
September 11th, 20 years later, as we continue with Tom Von Essen, who is the FDNY commissioner on September 11th, 2001. Tom, of all of the lives lost that day, perhaps one of the most profound tragedies was the death of the FDNY chaplain, Michael Judge. Father Michael Judge was a very beloved, charismatic Franciscan priest. He was listed as the very first officially recorded death in the carnage of 9/11. And I was reading that to this day, people make a pilgrimage to the New Jersey cemetery where his body lies, 22 miles from Ground Zero. They decorate his grave with signs, with trinkets, rosaries, even firefighter helmets. It's hard to overstate the impact that Father Michael Judge had with his life and his legacy, isn't it?
Yes, it really is. In my personal connection with him, he baptized my granddaughter. He was scheduled to baptize my second one. But his reach was way past our firefighters. He was very, very involved in the Alcoholic Anonymous community. Yeah, we used to kid him about every time I saw him, I'd ask him if he wanted a drink, and he used to just crack up. And, he said there wasn't a day that went by that he didn't want a drink. He was able to help so many people that needed it. It was amazing. He's just a guy that just had an enormous impact on so many lives. It was like a tree that went out in so many different directions, his ability to, and then when we had September 11th, Giuliani said to me, he said, "Oh my God, I can't believe how much we need Father Judge now." And it was so true, because he had an amazing ability to hold a widow's hand or a parent's hand or anybody's hand, and just not make them feel better, but make them feel as good as you possibly could at the worst time in their lives. someone like me, I'm a weeper, and I'm not that good at it. And Giuliani wasn't as good as he was better than me, but Judge was just phenomenal at it. He could really take all that pain. He couldn't take it away, but he was able to help them at that time when it was just so hard for a mother, a father, a wife. You know, he's just an amazing guy. And I'm not giving him justice. But trying.
No, you sure are. No, yes, you are. No, you loved and admired him like so many did. And I appreciated the story reading about a priest who travels the globe and hands out a prayer card with Father Judge's photo and the words of his own self-deprecating prayer. His prayer was, "Lord, take me where you want me to go. Let me meet who you want me to meet. Tell me what you want me to say and keep me out of your way." That was Michael Judge, yeah. Right?
And, you know, he said a mass at my firehouse that we had totally renovated. Took us a year to do it. And I was so happy. It was the day before September 11th, on September 10th. Probably one of the best days I ever had in my 32 years in the department. All the old-timers came back to see the new building, the way we had renovated. And just really gave the guys a great, great new building, both units, 42 and 73. And he said a mass, and he said, you know, you get on that rig, you never know what's going to happen, but you go out there and you do it anyway. And it was so eerie that, you know, less than 24 hours later, he'd be standing in the lobby. I could see him mouthing off the rosary as he was standing there, because I guess he had a sense that this was bigger than something bigger than we were going to be able to handle.
Wow. Tom Von Essen with us, as he is every year, and we appreciate, even though it's a sad, somber commemoration of these lives lost and the memories of 9/11. Tom, 20 years later, what lessons have we learned about not only, I mean, has firefighting, have first responders changed any approach? I know there was a big question and controversy about the communication ability, you know, the radios and so forth. Were there lessons learned that firefighters now in 2021 took away from the events of 2001?
You know, I think there are a lot of improvements in training and equipment, communications, all those things. But it helped in other areas. Naturally, we haven't had this type of incident where planes were used as missiles in a high-rise building, fortunately. So when these evil people get us again, it'll be something different, and hopefully we're better prepared for that. I think the level of training has been increased significantly. What we need is more accountability for the everyday things that happen. I don't see as much of that as I'd like to. But we certainly had it that day. We had the best fire chiefs in the world. They did a phenomenal job, and I was really proud to be part of it.
Do you miss it, Tom? Because I know after you retired, you were involved with FEMA and doing great work trying to and helping the people of Puerto Rico. And I mean, what is a guy who has spent his life serving the public the way you have? Where today, if I can ask you on a personal level, I mean, I know you enjoy your family, your grandkids, your life, but you must, do you miss that day-to-day buzz and challenge of being a fire commissioner one of the biggest cities in the world?
Bloomberg had asked me to stay, and it was just too much for me emotionally at the time. And then, of course, a couple of years later, you wish you were still there. I kind of like realize now I'm too old for that. But last year, taking helping FEMA and New York City get through COVID, New Jersey working with Murphy and some of the people sure. around here, we did a terrific job. But you know, you got to go, you got to move on. Every time I get introduced, it's always former this and former that. You realize that. You're an old man, and you gotta give it up.
Yeah, I understand that, but there's also something to be said with not having to get up at 6 in the morning and wake up at the crack of dawn and face some of the myriad the bureaucratic challenges that I'm sure you faced over the years. It's absolutely, again, comforting for me to be able to catch up with you and talk a little bit about the commitment that these firefighters made. I always wonder about a man like you in such an elite club. There's only a handful of commissioners in the history of New York City that served in the capacity you served. Do you ever, I always wonder about on a personal level, do you ever recognize the elite group that you're part of? In other words, was it just a job for you, or do you realize that you were truly and are still truly one of the best in the world at what you do? That's a pretty profound thing, and it's got to be a very humbling acknowledgement for yourself to know that you were part of this very elite group.
Well, thank you for saying that, but yeah, I really feel proud that, I was the only firefighter ever really commissioner. I think that what they really need, the best people are people from the outside. The person before me, Commissioner Safer, I think, helped us get to the next level. Chief Brunicini in Phoenix told me one time, he said, rotating your, he said, moving some of the chiefs from one position to another is like rotating ball tires. I'll never forget that.
It's a little bit like rotating talk show hosts. Tom Von Essen, yeah. It's great catching up with you. I can't wait to be back in the theater where you, your wife, and I maybe can catch your talented kid, Max, who's a big Broadway star. I know he's itching to get back to work, and we got to get back to some normalcy again, and with God's help, we will. Keep fighting the good fight, Tom, and thank you again for joining us here on the Mike Gallagher Show.
Thank you, Mike.
May we remember all of the souls lost on September 11th, 2001. Keep them in our hearts, our prayers, our thoughts. God bless them. Thanks for joining us. Keep fighting the good fight. I'm Mike Gallagher. God bless America.
Star General Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.